So, first of all, I'm very happy to be here in Sankyo Puntaling once again. Before I've been to Sankyo Puntaling in Prelude Drive, now again here. So, first, I would like to say Taishin Delek to all of you who have gathered here this evening. So, generally speaking, whatever we do, we should have the right reason to do. And similarly, when we study, we should have good reason to study. Actually, people study with different reasons. Some they study out of curiosity. And if you study out of curiosity, then it is not the right reason, because it means you just want to know. If you are studying with the curiosity, then it means you just want to study, and you don't want to practice. You just want to study. You just want to study, and you don't want to put your knowledge into action. You don't want to practice. You just want to know. That's it. So, just study, or just gaining the knowledge, or just having the intellectual understanding is not enough. Gaining knowledge is the first step, but it's not the complete action. For example, if we learn how to drive, if we can pass the exam theoretically, but just gaining knowledge on how to drive theoretically, or just having the intellectual understanding on how to drive, is not enough. After gaining this knowledge, then you need to put this knowledge into practice. You need a practical drive test. Just passing the theoretical test or just gaining the knowledge is not enough. Gaining knowledge is like the first step. It is not the complete action. So after gaining the knowledge, then you need to put this knowledge into practice, and you need to have a practical test. So similarly, knowledge without practice is not much benefit. And also, if we learn the Dharma, and the purpose of learning Dharma is just to gain knowledge or just to get high marks in the exam, then also that is not right, because the purpose is not just to get good marks in the exam. And also, if one studies just to gain knowledge so that one can teach in the future to many followers. So, this kind of reason looks good, but it is not the genuine reason. Because we don't study just to teach. Although by teaching, one can spread the Buddha's message, Buddha's teaching, and one can give others the chance to understand the precious and profound teachings of Lord Buddha. But from the teacher's side, just by teaching to few beings or hundreds of beings is not the right reason to study. So, we should not study out of curiosity or just to get good marks in the exam or just to give teachings to others. Because if you want to give teaching to others for that purpose, if you are studying and if you are gaining knowledge, then it means you are studying for this life, because giving teaching is in this life. Studying is in this life. Giving teaching is also in this life. So if you are ultimate goal is to keep teaching, then it means all are in this life. So if our goal is within this life, then it is not right. Because the great Arya Manjushri, when he gave the fifth instruction called the parting from the four attachments to the great Sachin Gonga Nyingbo, the main guru in the five founding masters of the guru, in the first line it says, if you have attachment to this life, you are not a spiritual person. So even though you are able to give teachings to hundreds of people, but still it is within this life. So if you are doing only for this life, then still you are not a spiritual person. So studying Dharma is not just to gain knowledge. Studying Dharma should have genuine reason. And also, sometimes, when one's intention is not right, when one has worldly intention, or intention that is not beyond this life, then after one study, instead of reducing the negative thoughts, it increases the negative thoughts, because after gaining the knowledge, then one feels pride, one feels arrogant, and one disrespects those who don't have any Dharma knowledge or those who have little knowledge on Buddha Dharma. And also, one feels unhappy toward those who knows better than oneself, or those who are more educated than oneself. Then for those, one can generate the jealousy thoughts. And those who are similar to oneself, then to those, one generate competition thoughts. So all these negative thoughts rises not because of studying Dharma, but because the person who studied Dharma has wrong intention or worldly intention, which is within this life. Because of that, then they generate these negative thoughts. So what matters is not just what we study, but also how we study matters. So, it is important to study, but also it is important to study with the right intention, to study with proper respect, to study with right or sincere devotion. When we study Dharma, it is important to have the right intention. If we are studying just for ourselves or just for one monastery or just for one community, then it is not right. Because whatever we study, we should study for the sake of all the sentient beings without any exception. Because we, as a Mahayana Buddhist, whatever we study, we should have the thought renunciation, infinite loving kindness, infinite compassion, and bodhicitta. Actually, we are Vajrayana Buddhists, but Vajrayana Buddhists is part of Mahayana. Mahayana has two main paths, known as Paramitayana and Vajrayana. So both Paramitayana and Vajrayana are Mahayana. But nowadays, when we say Mahayana, many people refer it to the Paramitayana, but actually the word Mahayana is a general name that covers both Paramitayana and Vajrayana. So we should study with the right motivation, with thought renunciation, loving kindness, compassion to all, and also with bodhicitta. Also, when we study, we should have great respect to the subject. We should not think Dharma is a ordinary subject, or Dharma is a subject which is similar to any other subject that we study. It is different from other subjects. Other subjects means like when we study different languages or mathematics or geographic, etc. All these different studies can benefit our present life, but they cannot benefit us to regain higher rebirth in the next life, or these other subjects will not help us to gain liberation or to attain the enlightened state for the sake of all the sentient beings. So, when we study the Buddha Dharma, we should have great respect. And we should have great respect not without any analyzation or examination. First, we should examine the Dharma, because Lord Buddha himself said, examining the Buddha's teaching is important. Buddha said, for example, when we buy a gold, we first check whether this is a genuine gold or not by burning it, by cutting it, and by rubbing it. So after this examination, or after thorough examination, then we can convince that this gold is a genuine gold. And then after conviction, then we buy this gold. So similarly, Buddha said, the followers should not just accept Buddha's teaching without any reasoning. First, followers should examine. And the more we examine, the more deeper understanding we can get on the Buddha Dharma. And Buddha Dharma, the subject, is not an ordinary subject. It's a very profound subject. It's a holy subject, because the Buddha Dharma is the source of our happiness. It's the source of removing our sufferings and the cause of sufferings. Because Buddha Dharma is the one that can subdue our wild mind, that can improve our mind, that can make a great impact on our mind. So, generally speaking, all the Buddha Dharma, all the Buddha's teaching are mind training teaching. But nowadays, when the subject is a direct mind-training teaching, then these subjects or these teachings are called mind-training teaching. Others are not called mind-training teaching, but directly or indirectly, all the Buddha Dharma, all the Buddha's teachings are mind-training teaching, are method to tame our mind, are method to subdue our worldly mind or our wild mind. So, Buddha Dharma is the source of all the happiness, because it is the direct antidote that controls and that eliminates the negative thoughts. And also, Buddha Dharma itself is the method, or itself is part of our good qualities. So our good qualities like loving kindness, compassion, and bodhicitta, they are none other than the Buddha Dharma. So, when we say Dharma, Buddha Dharma, the real Buddha Dharma is not just the Dharma books, or not just the sound. The real Buddha Dharma is our own realization, our own experience. That is the one that can really subdue our mind. Although we can call the Dharma books or the sound of Dharma or Dharma teachings as a Dharma, but the real Dharma is the experience or the inner realization which we can gain through studying the Dharma books or Dharma teachings from a genuine master with the right motivation. And also, when we study, we also need a great respect to the teacher. So since this subject is more superior than other worldly subjects. So, therefore, you should also perceive the Dharma teacher superior than our language teacher or mathematics teacher or other worldly teachers. In the Sakya Pandita's text called Tumsum Rave, the differentiation of three worlds, in that it says, those who teach the Paramitayana teaching, we should perceive such teacher like a Buddha. So we should perceive our teacher, our Dharma teacher, like a Buddha. So once we made the connection, once we made the dharmic connection as a teacher and a student, then we should never think bad about our Dharma teacher. We should never criticize or think bad about the teacher. If we criticize the teacher, then even you study, you will not get genuine realization or genuine experience. So sometimes even after receiving teaching, even after gaining the Dharma knowledge, still one will not have any change. Still one becomes very worldly person. Sometimes one can become worse than before. One's attitude, one's habit becomes worse than before. And at that time, we should think, that person is getting worse, not because that person studied the Dharma, but because that person has failed to apply the Dharma knowledge into their own action, or fail to materialize the teachings in their daily life. So because of that, that person can can have jealousy thoughts, competition thoughts, disrespect to those who don't have good Dharma knowledge, etc. And sometimes, out of their own pride, out of their own arrogance, they can criticize Buddha, or they can criticize the great followers of the Buddha, like the great Indian masters, Nagarjuna, Chandrakirti, and other great masters. So, after gaining knowledge, if they criticize such great Buddha and great masters, then it means there's something wrong in that person. That person cannot prove Buddha wrong. That person cannot prove the great masters wrong. Because we are saying this not because we are Buddhists or not because we are biased, but if we check thoroughly on their teachings without taking any side, then we can understand that is the reality. These teachings are the reality of the phenomena. So, therefore, it is important to respect the Buddha, respect the great authors of the philosophical texts and other teachings. And also, when we study, we should study for the sake of all the beings. And also, when we study, we should not study just for this life, or just for next life, or just for a few beings, but for the sake of all the beings. And when we study, first we should have authentic Dharma to study. If we meet wrong teacher, or if we meet with the wrong teaching, then it is not right. So first it is important to find authentic teacher and authentic teaching. Nowadays, in this degeneration time, sometimes one can see false teacher, and these false teacher giving false teaching. One can see in real, or one can see in the videos or through social medias. So it is important to be careful. And also, when we study Dharma, we should think we are very fortunate to be able to get the opportunity to study such precious and profound teachings. In the ancient time, some, they put great effort, or they went through lots of hardship just to listen to our four lines of teaching. So we should feel fortunate to receive so many teachings directly from the teacher or through social medias. So therefore, first we should feel fortunate, and also when we study the Dharma, we should not think this is one of the obligation, but we should study with great joy. And also, if we are studying out of great force, if we are forced to study by our teacher or parents or relatives, then it is not right. Sometimes we are not forced by others directly, but still we are forced, because if we are studying, and then if you need to give an exam at the end, then although others will not put any pressure to us, but sometimes we ourselves can feel the pressure, and out of such pressure we are forced, with ourselves forced to study. So when we study out of such great pressure, out of one's own force or by others' force, then at that time your intention is for a very short period of time, which is just to have a good exam. So with such force, if you study, since your intention is for a short period of time, because of that, after having the exam, after getting a good mark, then you tend to forget easily because your intention is not right. Your intention is for a short period of time, so you just want to study for this exam. So after exam, then it is easier for us to forget. And also, when we study, not only we should study through our wisdom, not just like studying and gaining the intellectual understanding, but when we study, we should try to feel the meaning of the teaching in ourselves. We should feel, we should not just study, but we should feel. And also, we should apply different examples with the same meaning of the teaching. Sometimes, in the teaching, it gives one example. But then when we study to deepen our understanding, we should change the example by remaining the same meaning, but we should change the example. We should use different example, which is different from the example that is already in the text or in the teaching. So we use our own example with the same meaning. So through this way, it can deepen our understanding. And if we can do like this, then I think it is easier for us to remember. And when we study, we should study the actual meaning, not just how to explain the teaching to others. If we just study how to explain or how to explain these verses to others, then we are focusing more time and energy on the literal meaning of this teaching, and we are not really focusing on the actual meaning of the teaching. So there are different ways to study. Studying how to explain to others, which means then we are focusing on the literal meaning, how to explain the literal meaning of this teaching. Sometimes we can explain the literal meaning in a very extensive way, but still we don't know the actual meaning of the teaching. So, studying the actual meaning of the teaching is more important than just studying the literal meaning or the meaning of these words. And also, when we study, we should know there are two different kinds of meaning. Some teachings are interpretive teaching, and some teachings are definitive teaching. So, sometimes the words doesn't mean the literal meaning. The meaning words is not just the literal meaning. It has more than that, or it has other meaning than that. So such teaching is called interpretive teaching. So at that time, we should not just take the literal meaning of the teaching. We should understand the actual meaning. For example, if you say the yoga of direction and the moon. So when we say yoga of direction and moon, it doesn't mean there's a yoga of direction, yoga of east, yoga of south, yoga of west, etc. And also there's a yoga of moon. It's not like that. So this kind of word has interpretive meaning. This is not the definite meaning. So the yoga of direction and moon means 11 yoga, because there are 10 directions and there's one moon. There's no two or three moons in the sky. So yoga of direction and moon literally means 11. Direction means 10, because there are 10 directions. Moon means one, because there's only one moon in the sky. So yoga of direction and moon means 11 yogas. So this kind of thing is an interpretive teaching. We should not just comprehend the literal meaning of such teaching. Then there are other teachings, like when we say four noble truths, then that is a definite meaning, because there are four noble truths. So some are interpretive teaching and some are definitive teaching. And also when we study, we should know this teaching is talking about which truth. We should not mix the relative truth and ultimate truth. When we study, we should study separately, because these two truths have different explanation. Otherwise, one might get confused. One might think, sometimes it says there is an existence, sometimes it says there is no existing, etc. So we should know according to which truth this teaching is explained. So these things are important to know when we study. And also, when we study, we should have faith and devotion in the teacher, in the teaching. After examination, we should have such faith and devotion. Because Buddha Dharma is very important. And when we accept a person as our own Dharma teacher, that kind of decision is a big decision. So we should not just accept anybody as our own Dharma teacher. First, we should examine that teacher, and after examining and after knowing such teacher has the qualification, then we should accept that teacher as our own teacher. For example, when we buy a house, we will not buy a house without any investigation. First, we try to check the location, the price, the condition of the house, etc. We will do our own examination or inspection before deciding to buy a particular house for us. So this house that we buy can be used for ourselves for the next 30, 40, 50 years, or like that, not more than that in general. But once we made a dharmic connection with the teacher, then this teacher will remain our teacher, not only for this life. We should always respect this teacher. We should always pray that may this teacher be our own teacher, life after life. So, therefore, it is very important to choose one's own teacher carefully. We should inspect more than just buying a house, because teacher is more important than this house, or than a house. Because house is only for this life. Teacher is not only for this life. Dharma teacher is not only for this life. So, we need to know all this, and then we should do a proper study with great devotion, with the right motivation, with great joy. Then we should put effort. And to study, we need diligence, we need a good understanding, and we need intelligence or wisdom. If we have all these, then it is certain that we can gain knowledge. But sometimes those who gain knowledge can have pride and arrogance. So when we gain knowledge, it is important to control our negative thoughts. It's important to be vigilant, or it's important to have conscientiousness all the time, so that we can control our own mind from the negative thoughts. And when we study, we should study with the right motivation. And then after studying, then we need to do contemplation. So study and contemplation are very important. It can widen our mind, or we can have more knowledge, we can have more understanding, we can have greater wisdom through all this study and contemplation. So, after studying, then we gain more knowledge, we gain more wisdom. Then it's like we are in the ocean. From a small pond, now we are moving into a big ocean or great ocean. So our wisdom becomes greater, our knowledge becomes greater. And after study and contemplation with right motivation, then we need to meditate. It is said, meditating without listening or without studying is like a handicapped person climbing to a rocky mountain. Generally speaking, a handicapped person cannot climb to a rocky mountain. Maybe there are some exceptions, but generally speaking, handicapped person cannot climb to a rocky mountain. So, similarly, we cannot do meditation without having the intellectual understanding or without having the study and contemplation. So, it is important to study and contemplation. But at the same time, we also need to keep the moral conduct. We also need to have a good discipline. Even in this world, those who are good at doing something, but if they don't have good discipline, or if they don't have good behavior, then even though they are good at doing something, but they are not considered as a good person. Or sometimes, even though they can do a good job, but they will not get a good job because of their own bad habit, or because of their short temperament, or because of their wrong actions. Although they can do good, but because of their own wrong action or their own bad temper, it becomes hard for them to get a good job. So similarly, if you have a good Dharma education or Dharma knowledge, but if you are not a good, if you don't keep the discipline, or if you don't keep the moral conduct, then still you are not a good spiritual person. So knowledge is not everything. We also need a good moral conduct. So in the Vasubandhu, the great Indian master Vasubandhu said in his text called Abhidhamma Kosha, based on moral conduct, then we should study, contemplate, and meditate. So this is a general structure that can be applied to all the Buddhist schools, whether it's Theravada school or Paramahayana school or Vajrayana school. One can apply to all these Buddhist schools without any exception. So we need a good discipline, good moral conduct. Based on this, then we should study and contemplate. We should do all this with great motivation or with the right motivation. And then we should do the proper meditation. So we should follow this structure, and also we should follow this order. First moral conduct, then study, then contemplation, and then the meditation. So when we do these things, we should always check our own motivation. Sometimes, after studying Buddha Dharma for years and years, without checking one's own motivation, then one might think, now I have done so many great things in this life, now I have taken the essence of this life, now I have not wasted this life, now I'm a good spiritual person because I've studied all these years. But in reality, if that person has not developed the right motivation to study, then still, after all these years, still that person is not a spiritual person, because that person has not developed the right motivation. That person is doing all this for years and years with attachment to this life, or with the purpose which is for this life. As it is said in the Manjushri's Parting from the Four Attachment teaching to the great Sachin Kunga Nyingbo, the first line says, if you have attachment to this life, you are not a spiritual person. So such person will fall into such category. So therefore, it is very, very important to study the Buddha Dharma with the right motivation, and also to study with right or authentic teacher, and to study the right teaching or the genuine teaching with genuine respect, and also with genuine moral conduct, etc. So if we have all these cause and conditions, then there's no doubt that we will become a good spiritual practitioner. Sometimes some might think, after studying for years and years, after gaining knowledge, if they don't get the chance to teach, then they think, now I don't have the chance to use or on my own knowledge, my own Dharma knowledge. But it is not like that. Dharma knowledge is not just to teach. The main thing is to practice. Main thing is to subdue our own mind. Main thing is not just to teach others. Even though one doesn't get a chance to teach, then still one can use. Of course one can still use our own Dharma knowledge. Because the main thing, the most important thing is not just giving teaching. If one gives teaching without any practice, if one doesn't have any practice, if one doesn't have any experience or any realization, if we just give teaching and teaching, teaching, then it will not benefit oneself in a great way. Because the most important is to practice and then teach. I'm not on genuine or that kind of teacher, but those great teachers, they can teach through their own experience. The one who can teach through their own experience, through their own realization, then that teaching is more profound to listen than those who just give teachings without any practice or without any realization. Those who are giving teaching based on their own intellectual understanding without their own practice or realization, then although one can teach, but it doesn't have that kind of profoundness in their teaching. So those teachings that are given through their own experience, through their own realization, is more profound. And also, it is important to teach according to the listener's ability. If one give teaching without checking the ability of the listener, then also it is not right. For example, if the listener has the ability to receive teaching for this much of time, but if the teacher gives teaching for long period of time, which is beyond their capacity or beyond their ability, then they cannot comprehend. The listeners cannot comprehend so long teaching. So whatever teaching that you receive, or whatever teaching the teachers give, teacher need to give according to the student's ability, according to the listener's ability. I think with this, I will conclude my short talk on study, contemplation, and meditation. And also we dedicate all our merits to attain Buddhahood for the sake of all the sentient beings. And also we should dedicate all our merits for our root guru, His Holiness the 41st Khyentse Tenzin Rinpoche and Lutin Khyentse Rinpoche and others for their good health, long life, and done the will of Dharma always.
Yes, in the Paramitayana tradition, the one who gave the teaching should be perceived as like a Buddha. So, in our daily life, we should respect such Dharma teacher, not just through our physical body, but also through our mental action. Actually, generally speaking, we need to respect any teacher, right? But physically also we should respect more than any other ordinary subject teacher. And mentally, of course, we should perceive this teacher is like a Buddha. So when we say like a Buddha, it help us to have more respect and not thinking any negative about the teacher. So it's like we need to see pure, we need to have a pure kind of perception. Yeah,
the second question, yeah, something like that.
Yes, students should not criticize the teacher, but if the teacher does something wrong or something which is not according to the Buddha's teaching or Buddha Dharma, then still this teacher has already given us great Dharma teachings. So still we should feel grateful on that part, the part which he gives the Buddha's teaching, and act as a messenger or act as a bridge between Buddha and ourselves. So from their side, we still need to respect, but the wrong action that the teacher have done on that part, I think we should not criticize, but just leave it in equanimity or just one thing or something like that. But we should not criticize.
In the Vajrayana, we need to see the Guru as a real Buddha, especially those who have given us the major empowerment. We need to see the Guru as a real Buddha. anyway, in Vajrayana, the Guru need to be seen as a combination of all the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha. So, normally we say, like, taking refuge in the Guru is like taking refuge in the Triple Gem, because Guru is a combination of all the Triple Gem. So, for this, actually, I think it depends on individual, how they see. Sometimes teacher may say something to purify the disciples' obscuration or negative action. For example, like when Marpa asked Milarepa to make a building and then destroy it and then make it again and ask to make again and again. So actually for Marpa, he does not need to ask Milarepa to make this again, again, again. But to purify Milarepa's previous negative deeds and to generate strong devotion to the... It depends on individual, but if students really see this is something that is not according to the Buddha or not according to the teaching and no any other big purpose, then we don't need to follow. But at the same time, we also no need to accept we also don't need to criticize or blame or thinking there's some fault in the Guru. But also we don't need to follow.